posted it on the website there. I changed his name. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com.
You can use the toilet now, Rick. I fixed it.
Thank you. You know, it was broken all weekend, and I didn't fix it.
Are you serious?
A little secret. It was broken last night. It was broken Saturday, too.
I'm the only girl working over here, and I fixed the toilet after it's been broken.
Bam!
Yeah, there you go.
All right. And Kristen Bowie didn't fix it either. You know, I mean, no, because there's another bathroom, and so why fix it? I know somebody else will. What's the point? God. Oh.
A little tease for you.
Internet, here's the headline. You knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Internet messages show that Foley sought to rendezvous with Paige. Yeah. All right. 503.
Meet me at the old rest area.
Do you know that one ficus shrub? All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the real reason you're here today. It's the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
An execution-style shooting in a one-room Amish school in Pennsylvania has claimed the lives of three people. Police Commissioner Colonel Jeffrey Miller says Charles Roberts warned people he would start shooting if they didn't leave the schoolhouse.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this... Let me load this. This is my fault. I was distracted by all of the hideous emoticons being used by Mark Foley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. This is... you want to reset that?
Yes. This is the shooter who claims he would start shooting if the kids didn't leave the schoolhouse.
The suspect who had told them that if the state police don't remove themselves from the premises in 10 seconds, he's going to begin shooting people.
And so this is
Amish country, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
That's Lancaster. By the way. But is this guy himself Amish?
Well, the gunman who killed these three students was from the Amish community.
Where would you get a gun? Well, I mean, I guess he just...
He's 32-year-old Charles Roberts.
Take your buggy and buy it somewhere. Can the Amish people have guns?
Well, they're not supposed to.
Yeah, but you know...
Or electricity.
But see, here's the thing about the Amish. The Amish, not like I'm some Amish expert or whatever, but I got kind of a low-key interest in the Amish, you know, that sort of world, because it is kind of fascinating in a strange way.
Yeah.
And Sarah, you and I talked about that Devil's Playground.
Yeah, that movie's just fascinating.
Where they have that Rumspringer, whatever it's called, where the kids go off and do crack for 6 months, and then they go back. Because the thing is, a lot of stuff that you think Amish people aren't allowed to have... They have, like refrigerators. My understanding of it is that the Amish, they shun, every time I use the phrase Amish and shun, I just get that weird old Yankovic song going on in my head. They shun stuff that could conceivably diminish the amount of time you spend either praying or with your family, i.e. a radio or a television, but not stuff that is just a convenience that makes your life better and more helpful, like a refrigerator. So I wonder if they're allowed, if somebody knows, Amish people are allowed to have guns.
All right, anyway.
So anyway, he committed suicide after he shot three girls and wounded several others. The murders were in revenge for an incident that occurred 20 years ago, and Roberts left suicide notes for his wife and three children. He said he called his wife around 11 o'clock today Eastern Time and told him he loved her. He then broke out of contact before shooting the students. The police say Roberts drove a milk truck picking up milk from farms in the area and taking it to a processing facility. The Amish may be a quiet, peaceful group, but sometimes they, too, can become violent.
All of us contain violence within us. And no matter how much we try to shut it out, it can occur even a kind of cloistered culture, such as the Amish culture and the one-room schoolhouse.
A second Amish expert says these people are a gentle sort.
Well, it certainly is a shock to the Amish people because their whole system of relationships are based on trust, and they generally don't take security measures in their own communities.
A third Amish expert says the shooting is someone's way of making a statement.
If you want to hold a community hostage, this is how you do it. You attack the school, specifically the elementary school. Whoever this shooter is making his or her point by terrorizing the entire community by killing six children.
You know, I hate people like this. Some turnkey just sits around.
They're experts.
Yeah, but that, I mean, at least, Dan, we just come on and admit that we're idiots. I don't know what the hell we're talking about here. We're just running our mouths. It's like... They all sound, all of these pundits, these people who get on Fox News, and they're all holding up a copy of the book that they've recently written that somehow ties into this.
Yeah.
They're all like that that guy in Die Hard, that, and the author of Hostage Terrorist, Terrorist Hostage, A Study in Duality. They all sound exactly like it. I got to turn this Mark Foley story over on its face because I keep getting...
We're going to get to that eventually. It's a tease. This gets better.
God. All right.
We have all gun violence to take care of before we get to sexual violence.
I can't wait to eat and drink and hang out late into the night.
Okay. Meanwhile, cops in the coup shot and killed a man with a toy gun yesterday. They were dispatched.
How do you kill someone with a toy gun? Oh.
They used a real gun.
No, he had a toy.
Okay. He had a toy gun, yeah. They got a call at 11:30 in the morning saying there was an unwanted person behind the Walmart on Southeast Mill Plain. Police arrived at the scene and located the suspect. The man pointed a handgun at the responding officer. The cop then fired one shot from his gun, killed the man. Apparently, he was holding a realistic-looking replica gun.
All right.
What's that?
Now, I'm expecting outrage about this any minute now. I'm expecting all kinds of people to be up in arms and upset that he pointed a toy gun
at
the cop.
He compromised the safety at Walmart.
No. And see,
a civilized society cannot tolerate such
a... here's the thing. First of all... I'm just not to flash back to unpleasantness of a couple of weeks ago, but I remember on this very radio program, I don't know, probably 10 days ago, a whole bunch of people were all pissed off at us because we were talking about this kid that had an actual real weapon.
Oh, that was the high school athlete.
Yes, I understand that he had blue eyes and blonde hair, but sometimes even those people can go too far. And so everybody was all upset that the cops killed this guy who had an actual real knife and was saying, quote, I'm not going down without killing somebody.
But it died down like a day later.
No, and so this guy who has a toy gun and is shot by the cops, that's fine. No outrage. Does anybody know what he looks like?
He's a white man in his 50s, believed to be a transient.
Oh, so he's a transient. He didn't play a sport, so I guess.
No, he did not. He might have.
You know, the weird thing about the toy gun thing is that you can't even get a toy gun anymore that looks like a real gun. They're all, I'm part of that generation where in the space of like a year, all the toy guns, it really is amazing when you think about it, actually. When I grew up, you could buy toy guns that looked... That was the whole, and you too, right? With like Daisy air rifles.
Yeah.
That was the whole point, was to get a fake gun that looked as much as possible like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was a little smaller, but I had like a BB rifle or something when I was a kid. Maybe it was really, it might have been really tiny actually in retrospect. Because
there's nothing more American than pointing a gun at something.
I mean, it looked just like a real gun. I mean, it had like the metal, it had like the metal barrel and like a wooden stock. And I mean, if it was dusk or something and you pointed that at a guy, man, you'd be lucky not to go home with a head full of holes. It looked exactly like a, it's kind of effed up when you think about all of the crap that we did with guns as a kid. And I'm not some anti-gun freak. Have a gun. Don't have a gun. I don't care. I don't have one because I'm crazy and I'd probably kill somebody with it. I have what they call poor impulse and anger control. So I would end up shooting somebody, which is why I don't own a gun. I really ought to. No, it's true. I mean, if I owned
a
gun...
I couldn't own a gun.
Because...
I just don't want that
in
my home.
Yeah, because the man... You know?
No, because everyone has their crazy time.
One margarita too many.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's next to kin time. There's two things would happen if I had a gun. A, it would be taken away from me by a home intruder. That's the thing. A guy would come in the house, and I'd pull out the gun, and then I would drop it. Or I would just be that idiot, where he would just take it from me and then hose me. Or B, Laura and I would just end up shooting each other. That's just the way it goes. Guns, I'm not trying to be on a high horse, but have a gun, don't, whatever, it's up to you. I'm just saying, in my opinion...
It would fall between the couch cushions and you shoot yourself in the buttock.
I don't really think it can be argued that guns make the world a more dangerous place. Now, I'm not saying you can't get rid of them. They're everywhere. So what are you going to do? But, I mean, a gun in my house, that's just, that's a Darwin Watchers waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, like, in the space of 6 months, we went from having toy guns be, like, black or brown or look real, and now they're all, like, day-glow green with, like, a big bumblebee on the side of them or something, so you can't possibly... I keep waiting for criminals to start getting real guns that are bright orange. I'm not suggesting that criminals should do that, but I'm just saying if I were a criminal, that's exactly what I would do. I would have a gun, a real gun, that was designed to look like a squirt gun. There you go. Free tip from me, the criminal element in our... No charge for that.
A naked screaming man leads police to a pipe bomb. This happened outside of Vancouver, where apparently people aren't surprised by anything anymore.
No, but Vancouver's becoming our... It's like our own little Beirut.
Deputies responded to reports of a crazy naked man screaming at people and trying to start a fight. They found out more than they expected.
Fantastic.
During an unusual disturbance. The man was not cooperating when officers arrived at 10017 Northeast 13th Avenue. That's in Hazeldale, right off in the Coupe somewhere. Deputies made contact with the man who was covered with blood from a cut he received from breaking a window at his residence. Deputies used hand restraints, and while awaiting medical response, the subject became combative and fought with the deputy.
He was covered in blood?
Yeah.
Okay.
And why? Oh, it's a coup. The deputies were eventually able to subdue the man, who was taken to the hospital for evaluation.
Okay.
Then investigators went inside the home for welfare reasons, as they say, where they located a pipe bomb in the living room. In the meantime, the people in the coup had no way to deal with this, so they called in the Portland Bomb Squad to assist and safely contain the bomb.
Then they all went to Applebee's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we got our assigned work taken care of.
Okay. Is this our treat?
Is this our treat?
This is our reward. Who wants to be the teenager? Sarah?
Okay.
All right. You going to be the teenager? Do you have the transcript of this, Tim?
I don't. We'll have to have a copy. Scotty, go make us a copy of this, will you?
Well, do we have... Here's the thing.
Is this the transcript of the thing that you had on your site?
I don't know.
No, this is something new.
There are so many hundreds of these now floating around because apparently there were dozens of kids, or maybe not a dozen, but many underage boys that he was having conversations with. But, I mean, all I've got is this one. I've got this one right here. This is from...
So we need an extra copy, Scotty, of what you just gave me. I'll read a charming story.
In the meantime, do we have something about bunnies?
We have something about rats, as a matter of fact. Rats were honored guests at a weekend gathering. About 100 rat enthusiasts turned out for the Rat Pack Northwest Fall Show and Carnival. This happened in Seattle. Where the animals were judged according to their teeth, eye size, and disposition. Also available, tips for performing rat CPR.
Okay. Why doesn't Congressman Foley use bookmarks?
I don't know why.
He likes his pages bent over. Hello.
But that is interesting.
Can you hear me in the back? All right. Are we just waiting on Scotty to bring these in?
We are.
What we don't even know if you heard. Right. He getting a snack.
Let me poke my head outside the door, make sure.
Let me just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy.
I don't know
what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to Jack Squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
He's going to go make us a copy.
All right, Scotty?
He needs it back. He's going to make us a copy.
All right, you're good. So which of these instant messages, is this email or is this instant message stuff, Tim?
Those are instant messages.
All right. And so which transcript, is this one that I have a copy of?
Yes.
All right, because Sarah, don't you have a copy?
I
love some of them as well.
Totally disturbing and
yeah,
not
this is totally
appropriate
different.
For air.
There are plenty of them out there.
Okay, all right.
So yeah, let me make a copy.
All right,
okay,
got
it down the hallway. Make us a copy. Thank
let me
you.
Read a couple of these.
Thank you,
Rick, holy breakdancing Christ, is Bob Costantini uptight? He did sound uptight today.
He sounded a little off.
I don't. It's not that he was off. He was very professional today. You know,
he sounds kind of scared every time.
You know, the thing is, well, you know what it is. I don't know where those guys come from. I mean, I mean, when I say CNN guys, I don't know how they come. I mean, I guess I don't know how old Bob Costantini is, but I mean, they must go to broadcast school or journalism school or to college or something. And the thing is, we do all of this work with the CNN people trying to get them to lighten up and lose all their professionalism. And it's fine. Usually, here's the thing, is by the end of like the week or 2 week period when Bob Costantini or anybody, by the end of 2 weeks, we've usually got them where we want them, you know, which is where they need to be, which is that they're very relaxed and they're sort of just being themselves. You know, they all kind of sound like Jim Roop. But, man, it's like you don't talk to that guy for like a week, and it's just like elastic. He just snaps back into being all into being really tight-assed about everything. You need to resume messing with that guy. He needs to lighten up. He reminds me of Ross Buckingham from Private Parts. What a party Bob Costantini is. It's true. Let's see, I've got this about...
And I do notice how nice you are to him. You like, over-compliment him.
Well, because I don't want to frighten him. And I think he must live in fear because he's a part-timer there anyway. He's not like a... I mean, when I say real, he's not a full-time employee there. They won't even put his picture on the website. I mean, what is it you have to do at CNN exactly to be able to be classed as a real employee? So, I mean, I don't want him to... I don't want him to be terrified that he's going to come on. And plus, because he's a part-timer... I mean, my suspicion, and I don't know that this is true, I'm not purporting to have knowledge of the internal workings of the cable. Is it Cable News Network? Is that what CNN stands for?
Yes.
I don't really know how CNN operates. I'm just saying, though, you know he must operate at the whim of Laura Caviezel. I mean, she must, especially because he is, and I swear to God, I'm not making this, he said he was an hourly employee. Mm-hmm. So he probably doesn't want to, you know.
Maybe he's a temp.
He doesn't want to irritate her too badly because then it's, you know, he'll be benched. So I'm always nice to that guy. So we have here these, some of this little, some of these IMings here, this instant messaging between former Congressman Mark Foley and an unnamed teenager. How are we going to read these?
Well, we can play a soundbite first.
All right.
Maybe we can put some music on in the background.
Fantastic. The soundbite number five?
It's number five.
Okay.
This is an awful and disturbing story. That's how White House spokesman Tony Snow describes the growing scandal over Congressman Mark Foley.
What we're not going to do is to leap to judgment without finding out what the deal is. I mean, I call over to the Speaker's office. The question is, what exactly did they have? And the Speaker has turned over emails and documents to the Justice Department, which they are reviewing.
Yeah. Well, we have them right here, and we're going to review them right now. And we will be judge and jury on the future of Congressman Mark Foley. And we will not be fooled by Washington rhetoric.
Fantastic. All right. So, Sarah, are you going to be the teenager? It's got to be another guy, though. Scotty? Wait, hold on. Let me...
Great.
What?
The women are just slowly being weeded out of this business. Since I don't have the right voice, can't play this.
Okay, well, why don't you, then you got to be Mark Foley.
It's a prepubescent teen.
He's not molesting girls.
Then you got to be Mark Foley.
Okay.
And I'll be the teenage boy.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. All right.
All right, so...
You set it up.
The best part here is early on when former Congressman Foley says, I would drive a few miles for a hot stud like you. All right.
We'll start at the beginning.
Okay.
Because everyone wants to hear the full story.
The FBI says it's opened a preliminary investigation of Foley's emails. Federal law enforcement officials say attempts by Foley to meet in person could constitute the necessary evidence for a federal charge of soliciting for sex with a minor on the internet. In another message, Foley, using the name Math54, appears to describe having been together with... Oh, really?
Yeah.
What I get for not pre-reading. Appears to describe having been together with the teen in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I missed you lots in San Diego.
Yeah, I can't wait until D.C.
Smiley face emoticon.
Smiley face clan hat, curly hair. Did you pick a night for dinner?
Not yet, but likely on Friday.
Okay, I'll plan for Friday then.
That will be fun.
The messages also show the teenies at times...
The teenies
at times uncomfortable with Foley's aggressive approach.
I want to see you.
I don't think he laughed.
I'm sorry. LOL.
Like I said, not till February, then we'll go to dinner.
And then what happens?
Well, we'll eat, we'll drink. Who knows? We can hang out late into the night.
And?
I don't think the boy laughed.
I don't know.
That's D-U-N-N-O.
I don't know.
Don't know what?
Well, I have the feeling that you're fishing here. I'm not sure what I'd be comfortable with, but we can see...
Good
so
God.
Wrong.
Okay, but this isn't even the worst one. Did you read the one where he's talking to the kid about when he's going to turn 18?
We'll do that next hour.
Tim's got them all laid out. This is like we put him into selector. We're going to make this an A. All right.
You won't be hearing this on the couple morning show.
Oh, God. The best part is this one photo that they've obviously chosen. The one photo of Mark Foley that runs with all of these stories. Is this one where he's doing the, what do we call that? The back at you finger?
Yeah.
Except this is like an angry back
this
at you.
This is like the scolding finger.
This is like a whole lot of, I did not have sexual relations with it.
We'll get these child molesters.
And by the way, though, let's all remember, though, that even though Mark Foley was soliciting sex from underage boys, what's really important here is that Bill Clinton had consensual sex with an adult. Consensual sex with an adult, and that's real crime.
That's what Democrats
crime.
Do.
That's... Really, that's what we should all continue to be outraged about.
Jesus Christ.
All right, there you go. And speaking of creepy, by the way, I know we're over time, but it's we can do this in the break, and the client's going to be here.
Too.
On Mark Foley?
Yeah, you have to, one, two, three more sound bites.
Oh, God.
No, two more.
I mean, ABC, there was like 30 pages of instant message chat, mm-hmm. and it was like a lot of...
A lot of what you can't repeat on the air.
It was a lot of phrases.
It was a lot of gross.
It was a lot of... A lot of references to relative firmness of any number of things. And any manner of lubricants and so forth. Speaking of all things weird, we have this subject line: "Ew." About George from Wilsonville. Did you hear? Did anybody listen to the Temnasium this weekend?
I
listened to all 2 hours this weekend. It was great, by the way. How about this? This email says, George from Wilsonville. I'm making dinner. I turn on the kitchen radio, figuring Tim Savage can... this is a mean thing. I'll skip the observations about the Timnasium. But they were doing this thing in the Timnasium because there's a girl... Tim Savage does the Timnasium Saturdays 4 to 6, and there's a girl named Sarah who sits in with him. And I think largely because she doesn't want to be confused with you, and then also just because whenever I hear somebody on the show that only... on the air anywhere that only has one name, whenever it's here, like, you know... Some DJ that's just like Brad or like Angie. Like, it always, it's always kind of weird to me when somebody doesn't have a last name. So anyway, they were doing this whole bit of trying to find a last name for her. And they were being very obvious that it was her radio name. So they were doing this whole ongoing bit of trying to find Sarah whatever. And so this guy named George, and I'll just read the email here. A caller named George comes on and says something creepy about how hot her voice is and how he thinks about her. Then he identified himself as being their P1 from Wilsonville. So here's what George actually said, because she didn't write down the most disturbing part. He wanted to call her, I believe, Sarah... God, it was like Sarah Scrumptious was the name he suggested for her. And then she said, well, why Sarah Scrumptious? And George's response was, and I heard this on the air this week, and George's response was... Because you've got the most luscious voice in Portland radio. And, you know, luscious is a word that makes me a little uncomfortable. That's a word that makes me feel a little awkward. So that's exactly what she's referring to by this way. And I had no idea. I was just sitting around the house and cleaning dishes in my kitchen this weekend listening to the Timnasium. And I hear the very distinctive voice of George from Wilsonville going, Sarah, I think you've got the most luscious voice in Portland radio. So you were not the... what? Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. All right, this is Clyde Lewis. We got a break here. We'll come back. Clyde Lewis, we got news at Ground Zero. More from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we have CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, etc. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. Tomorrow I have the first day of lacrosse practice.
You copies of this?
Scotty, did you make Sarah a copy of this? Oh, it's 503-733-2970. All right. In just a moment, we'll welcome Clyde Lewis to the Rick Emerson Show. We've got more of these instant message transcripts from former Congressman Mark Foley. Later on, a little Britney Spears news. We'll talk to Peter Carlin from the Oregonian as well, and Lisa Goddard, who's covering the Amish the shooting. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from ClydeLewis.com, and host of the Ground Zero Lounge, our good friend Clyde Lewis. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. How are you today?
What's up with you, brother? Now, let me ask you this. We were talking about something. I meant to bring this up, too. This is a weird day. It's one of those days you just... feel in the air that there's just too much we could did they ever get to today. There's so much today.
Believe me, the email exchanges that I've been having with my crew have been amazing today because of all the things that we have talked about at the Ground Zero Lounge prior to all these things culminating. And it's really interesting how you brought up before in the past how you can blow some of the things I say off, but then when they all begin to transpire, it just gets really creepy and weird. And that's exactly what my day's been like today.
Well, it's just one of those things where there's more today happening than we could even talk about. But I do want to, real quickly, before we even get into all the stuff going on right now. So on Friday, we had the weirdest chain of events happen on Friday where we were playing this PSA. We're playing a public service announcement featuring so-called, quote, McGruff the Crime Dog.
Right.
And then Tim and I got into this whole debate about whether or not McGruff the Crime Dog had been replaced by a new voice, whether there was a new voice of McGruff the Crime Dog.
Right.
Not unlike that Tony, because the guy who did Tony the Tiger finally died. And then they got some other guy who's doing Tony the Tiger now. And Tim was insisting that the new McGruff the Crime Dog is different, you know, that he's a different guy. And I said, no, he wasn't. And it turns out, anyway, long story short, the guy who does the McGruff the Crime Dog voice now is, in fact, a different guy. They did replace the old McGruff voice. So, and we couldn't figure out why, and it turns out just the other guy retired, but we decided to start an urban legend. Our good friend Nate called in.
Right.
And Nate on the air was the best thing. Nate called in on the air and planted the seeds of this new urban legend. The urban legend that we attempted to start is that, so I can get this straight now, that the guy who now does the voice of McGruff the Crime Dog is the son of the original McGruff the Crime Dog, who, ironically, was killed in a home invasion. And the son, and the son now does the voice of McGruff the Crime Dog to avenge his father's murder.
That's fantastic.
The best thing is I did a Google check this morning, and it's already started to show up on message boards and websites. So everybody who is listening on Friday, they witnessed the creation of this urban legend, and we're going to now see how far it can spread. We're not going to give it any additional push. We're not going to give it any of it. We're just going to see how far it organically spreads.
Well, what about your, what about Adam Sorkin that you...
I've never revealed that.
Did you bleep me then?
No, I didn't bleep it, but I haven't ever revealed that on the air.
And then the one I created about the Cabbage Patch Dolls.
Now, see, that's what I wanted to get to. See, I mentioned on Friday that you had told me at one point that you had created, because you had the same fascination we do about how urban legends get started, and you had created this urban legend saying that Cabbage Patch Kids were started by the government in an attempt to, an attempt to desensitize us to what babies who were warped by radioactivity would look like.
After a nuclear war.
So that if there was a nuclear war, we wouldn't be scared by little radioactive babies.
Well,
because
the seeds of that all was planted by a guy by the name of Richard Rounds. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, I do.
You know, he would have weird conversations. And one of the things we talked about is he talked about that he believed that Down syndrome children, there was an upsurge in Down syndrome children after World War II and after the bomb was dropped.
Patch Kids do kind of look like Down syndrome kids.
Exactly. And he said to me, you know, maybe it has something to do with the fact that, you know, aliens crashed at Roswell and it was at a place where, you know, near White Sands where they were having the nuclear, and that the babies that are being born that are the Mongoloid babies are basically, you know, a remnant of that. And I said, wouldn't that be fascinating if Cabbage Patch Dolls were meant to go the full blow? But the funny thing about that is that we tried to tie it to Chernobyl because of the fact that Chernobyl, I think, happened in 1986, and the Cabbage Patch Dolls were released in 1983.
So to the best of your knowledge, the urban legend that Cabbage Patch Kids were put out by the government to desensitize us to what radioactive babies would look like, that started with you, to the best of your knowledge.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, however, I do know that Snopes, which I don't like, by the way, because of the fact that I know the guy who drew the penis Little Mermaid poster, you know him, it's Bill Morrison.
Yeah.
And I reported that to Snopes, and Snopes basically snubbed me. And I also told him that I was responsible for that urban legend as well. And they turned around and they attributed it to some idiot at a college somewhere and said that he came up with it back in 1984. And that didn't happen. It was a topic on Ground Zero, and we basically speculated about it on Ground Zero because I was talking about the aftermath of nuclear war and also whether or not there would be Mongoloidism. And, of course, I have tuberous sclerosis, which is a remnant of the fact that my parents were all downwinders, and that's why I have that. And it's the idea is how, you know, nuclear stuff basically affects the human body. And so that's one of the reasons why I talked about it, because I wanted to talk about tuberous sclerosis and all that. So I basically told that to Snopes, and Snopes didn't care. They didn't even care about Bill Morris, and I gave the name and everything, and they just says, oh, some guy had said that it was attributed to some artist who draws for The Simpsons.
Well, and I had him, we've interviewed him, I had him on the show once, Bill Morrison, who drew for The Simpsons, and who is the guy who drew the Little Mermaid poster.
Yeah,
in which people claim that there's a phallus and so forth. So anyway, so if you hear the thing about McGruff the Crime Dog, you know where that came from. That came from the Rick Emerson show.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's some of the things that, you know, because of the fact that Jan Harald Brunvon I had on my show as well.
He's the choking Doberman guy.
Yeah, the choking Doberman guy, and apparently he's a professor in Utah, and he says that a lot of urban legends come from Utah, which I thought was very interesting, that I guess Mormons have nothing better to do but make up stories.
I was going
to
say the people in Utah have already shown a predisposition for believing insane stories.
Well, I remember when I was there, one of the things I used to come up with was something called the Mormon Twilight Zone, where, like, missionaries would, like, go to houses where a little girl would answer the door, and she'd say, my mom and dad won't be home to receive the gospel until later, so come back later, and they say, your daughter said to come back and to speak with you guys, and says, our daughter was killed in an automobile accident 3 years ago.
Our daughter's been dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what's going on in the world of Ground Zero? There's a whole lot of crap going down today.
Well, there's a whole lot of cool stuff going on. First of all, let me talk about the cool stuff first. We have a special. It's going to be, I'm going to be on a special on the History Channel with Lewis Black coming up in November. It looks like that's going to go off.
Cool. Very cool.
In contact with that. Also, a role-playing game called Alien Investigations, which is going to be released out of Texas. It's called the Reality Deviant Productions is putting it on. It features Aaron Duran, myself.
Is this the thing you sent me? Aaron sent me the artwork for this. It's a role-playing game that features you and Aaron Geek in the City and Sadie Gregg, and it's got some really cool pictures of you guys. Some great artwork in it.
Oh yeah, I mean, it makes us look like CSI.
It's just very cool.
It's the most amazing thing ever.
No, it's very cool.
And then tonight, well, look, you know, you were last week at Dante's. I mean, we packed the place with people who want to come in here and see what we're doing. And this week, I think, is going to be no exception. And there's even a rumor, and I'm not going to say who, there may be somebody famous there tonight. The situation is that for the past few weeks, I have been talking about what is known as raging cultism and raging what I call, I guess you could say, lower-level satanic power that is basically being generated by the government and religious organizations, and how they're creating warriors, and more or less like when Hitler created the SS, he was basically ordaining them as monks to murder in the name of government. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there's going to be some things we're going to be showing tonight. There's I don't know if you've read Apt Pupil by Stephen King.
Yeah.
Also, there was a Star Trek episode called Patterns of Force, which is a very interesting one about how they come to a planet that a historian decides to reorganize Nazism and say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and it's kind of parallel to what's happening today. And also,
you're just full of relentless good cheer today.
Well, and of course, Jesus Camp, which is going to be out in theaters soon. We're going to show some of that, which is really, really disturbing.
The best part, I was at the Ground Zero Lounge last Monday, and you were talking about, I don't know, the space shuttle being attacked by jellyfish or something. And there was the best part where some guy in the crowd who was all like, yeah, you're full of crap! And somebody was totally, like, trying to pick a fight with you.
I know.
Fantastic.
I mean, that's the thing about Ground Zero Lounge.
It was great.
People pick fights, people listen, people jump on the microphone. It's open mic conspiracy, open mic paranormal, open mic, you know, people give me their experiences. And some people don't believe what I have to say, and that's fine, too. We get into a raging debate. It's safe, it's fun, and it's interesting. And that's what we do there. Tonight, though, it's going to be really, I think, shocking. A little bit, you know, this Amish shooting that took place today was just indicative, I think, of what is happening in the world, where the religious groups are not immune to some sort of a dark force that has been culminating for some time. And so I'm going to talk about a little bit, it's going to be based on something that was written by Tracy Twyman a while ago called Magical Blitzkrieg, which is the idea that all you do is you mix a little bit of occultism with a little bit of religion and a little bit of power and a little bit of government, and you got yourself one hell of a monster that you've got to bring back, one hell of a beast you need to rein back. And it's not going to change anytime soon when we see more and more of it. It's going to be really frightening.
There you go, everybody. Bring the kids. Clyde Lewis. He's a guaranteed good time for the whole family, isn't
it? It'll be 8 o'clock tonight, and, you know, bring your thinking, bring your thinking cap, bring your tinfoil hat, bring whatever you can, and it's free. You don't have to pay anything, and plus karaoke from Hell's afterwards, and it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. So, I mean, you know, it's really, I think people, when they come to Ground into their lounge. They don't know what to respect. And, I mean, expect, and they walk in, and then afterwards they're just mesmerized.
That was pretty great. I was there last week, and it was a pretty big crowd too. So.
Yeah, it's a pretty big event, and we're pretty excited about it. So I'm very
Dante's
excited.
Third and Burnside tonight, and check out everything else at ClydeLewis.com. All right, my friend, and remember. McGruff avenging his father's death.
Yeah, I'll spread that around too.
Thank you, sir.
Right,
there we go. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, ClydeLewis.com. All right, we'll have Tim Riley rejoin us here in just a moment. And we got the. Did Scotty give you the copy of the script? Scotty, did you?
Are there two of them there?
No, I think this is just the same one.
Same one.
What?
Oh, nothing.
No.
Think aloud.
All right. So okay. Thank you.
Here, why don't you call him in
there's
here?
There's a little voice in my head.
We're making a copy of the Mark. Okay, so we'll do these like next hour. So we've got a copy of more of the instant messaging transcripts from. These are just so wrong.
Oh yeah, they're all.
You betcha, and you know you want to hear them.
So we'll be reenacting more. And I've had to go through and so every time you see a dash or something lined out, just say blank. Blank or blanking or blank a lot or I prefer to blank into a blank so that it doesn't make my blank red and blank. So there you go.
Too bad you don't have a little button where it would have like a beep.
70 Miller actually does that in the morning. She'll do a thing where when she's reading something, she will actually beep herself.
It take to get us a beep button?
I don't know. Yeah, well, probably an overhaul of the budget.
Oh, we don't want that.
We'd have to make cuts somewhere.
There are only three of us here. We're an entire radio station.
We'd have to do some belt tightening.
No, I don't think we want to do that. Things are fine the way they are.
All right. 503.
Forget I said that.
503-733-2970.
And not one to complain.
This whole show is going by in a big hallucinogenic haze today. It seems like it was just 11 o'clock, and now it's 1. Still to come today, Chris Sneathan from OregonLive.com. He'll be talking about Mark Foley, a bunch of other brother stuff with us. We got Peter Carlin coming up as well. Here's Tim Riley.
So let's go to bank number B here because we have more discussion. Surprise.
Okay.
House Republican Speaker Dennis Hassert has asked the Justice Department to investigate the growing scandal involving Congressman Foley. The 52... Well, we don't know what he did. Or allegedly do. He did it. Hassert said this PAGE program, I guess these young men were pages, is a secret trust.
And as a parent and Speaker of the House, I am disgusted that Congressman Foley broke that trust.
Yeah. And you know that... Yes, we're not at all disgusted that they knew about this like a year and a half ago and chose to do nothing about it. And again, well, Bob Costantini was making the point that like a year and a half ago, they claim, although I think at this point no one believes them, they claim, because here's the thing is anybody in this position like Dennis Hassert here, they always know about 70% more than they claim they knew. So when they claim they know nothing, they know a little bit of something. When they claim they know a little bit, they know a lot. When they claim that they knew that he was... You know, yeah, talking in it. I mean, really, how many inappropriate conversations with a 15-year-old are you allowed before a guy just steps in and blows the whistle and says, get out of the pool? I mean, I understand that maybe you didn't catch him actually in a Motel 6 putting it to some underage intern, but I mean, for the love of God, how many times do you get to sit there and go, are you sweaty? I mean, before somebody decides that maybe that's not a thing you ought to be doing. Yes, thank you, Scotty. It's a secret trust. Scotty is noting that they use the secret twig and berry handshake. You know, on the crest, the emblem.
Is that something from the Skull and Bones Society?
No, it's on the eagle. The eagle have the twig and the berry?
Oh, yeah, the eagle. Meanwhile...
This whole story is just so vile.
Robert Novak says that Democrats are going to try to exploit this scandal.
What the Democrats have to do to win the House of Representatives is defeat incumbent Republican congressmen who have been very popular with their constituents.
This'll do it.
To do that, they need some kind of national issue.
Oh, mission accomplished. By the way, doesn't incumbent suddenly sound really dirty? Mm-hmm. That's a whole lot of like, you know, how are you?
Well, I'm a little incumbent at the moment. Maybe you'd like to relieve that.
What are you wearing? Meanwhile, Washington Post
sore?
Journalist Bob Woodward was on CBS. He said the president's not telling Americans the truth about Iraq.
No!
He said although Bush speaks publicly about progress in that country, a secret intelligence assessment made last May shows insurgency is on the rise.
No!
Getting to the point now where there are 800-900 attacks a week. That's more than 100 a day, 4 attacks an hour, attacking our forces.
Okay. This is what, every 15 minutes, he says?
Yeah, they have a little tote board.
Here's the really...
Baghdad Square.
I was going to say, there's a certain point, does somebody get it late? Does somebody get a coffee cup or something?
Yes.
The really ridiculous part of this, of course, is that the White House's response is that they couldn't, but they have no idea. That the military themselves couldn't possibly tell whether it's true or not that we're being attacked every 15 minutes. Really, how is it, does it disturb anybody else that Bob Woodward, who's just some guy sitting behind a goddamn desk at the Washington Post, is able to figure out how often we're being attacked? And the freaking military themselves can't figure it out. If only we had some mechanism. If only we had some way for the troops to convey the information about when they're being attacked. It's like as though the whole war is just happening in like a vacuum somewhere where nobody can, you know, like it's just some sort of a completely isolated blind service dog that you've sent off somewhere that can't possibly report back.
Bob Woodward tells Mike Wallace that while the president has said all along that U.S. troops will stand down as Iraqi troops stand up, that might not be the case.
The number of Iraqis in uniform today, I understand, is up to 300,000.
And they've stood up from essentially zero to 300,000. This is the military and the police.
But U.S. forces are not standing down.
I got to say, by the way, that Bob Woodward has the most, he has the strangest speaking style. He talks, and it's like he has, I can't even do an impersonation here, but he's got the weirdest thing. It's like a Christopher Walken sort of a thing where he makes every syllable into two. And then this is Mike Wallace?
Yeah.
I thought Mike Wallace had retired. Didn't he retire like a month and a half ago?
No, that was Dan Rather.
No, it was Mike Wallace.
Wallace has not been told to clear out his desk. You stay there and keep working until you're told to clear out your desk at BlackRock.
Do you suppose that Mike Wallace just comes to work every day and there's a big stack of messages from Dan Rather? Uh-huh. Just a whole lot of while you're outs. Mm-hmm. And he just takes them and just crumples them and throws them into the trash. I thought that we watched a whole 60 Minutes thing where they were like bidding him a fond farewell.
Oh, we did, but they didn't mean it.
It's just sort of an honorary retirement. Uh-huh. Okay, so there you go.
Well, here's a little bit of good news. You'll soon be able to enjoy some delightful spinach again.
I understand from Food and Drug Administration that they have cleared all spinach other than grown in three counties in California. And it should be able to be back on the shelves by Monday.
Are you tired and sore?
You won't die.
All right. I'm going to end every news story today, by the way, with tired and sore. I got to read this real quickly. We never did get our big pile of celebrity gossip earlier, but I have this. Lindsay Lohan told, get to rehab now. Concerned friends have warned Lindsay Lohan she needs to go into rehab after the actress was dumped by her boyfriend Harry Morton, sparking a booze binge, punctuated by alarming out-of-control behavior. In one incident, she was spotted standing alone in a dark alleyway outside a New York nightclub.
No, she wasn't.
Not right here.
Oh, wait, outside of a nightclub, okay? The internet wouldn't lie.
No, she's just standing in an alley, rummaging through a dumpster. Outside a New York nightclub, performing a strange dance of karate-style kicks.
I have that video.
Really?
Uh-huh.
In between puffing on her cigarette. Anything you do anywhere in the world now is going to be on video. Mm. Standing outside a nightclub doing karate-style kicks and puffing on cigarettes. She's clearly out of control and headed for rock bottom, says one friend.
Maybe Mark Foley could use a roommate.
We're all really worried about her trying to get her into rehab, but she just won't go. In other news, just 2 months after accusing Lindsay Lohan of being irresponsible and unprofessional, Hollywood studio boss James Robinson claims he would be happy to work with the 20? She's not even 21.
Every day.
I think she shaved a few years off her age.
I thought the last time we had this argument, though, or this discussion, that she was 21 and I was appalled.
She's 20.
Now she's not even of drinking
age. She's not
age.
Of drinking age.
Is she
age.
Getting younger with every week?
She is.
All right. Mm-hmm. He says she's professional, she's on her mark and knows her lines. She doesn't complain and she's very cooperative. Okay. I don't know what that's all about. Anyway, so there you go.
Well, she is a good actress.
That sounds like something presented to a focus group. Please pick the best line.
That's a whole lot of... Yeah.
She's cooperative and stands on her mark.
She loves her family. It's better than cats. I will see her again and again. All right.
She feels sorry for the orphans on the way to church.
I think I have holes in my brain or something, because it's like, you have to point this... I think it's because my brain can't possibly accept the fact that she looks like that at just the age of 20.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's weird is looking at her MySpace page, and you see how really... childish she still kind of is, because all of her, I'm thinking about you, and just the way she writes doesn't match the way she looks and, like, all the tabloids and whatever. That
she's
we
very immature.
Well, just get me, because she just looks really, really old.
Probably still reads as tricycle.
Yes.
Because we don't hear her talk. We just see these still pictures of her.
See her and her weird, lumpy, uneven bosoms. Mm-hmm. All right, here's... was it you that said that she has implants, right?
Yeah.
Because they're all, like, way too high and whatever, firm-looking. All right, here's Tim Ryan.
Maybe she went to, like, the Express.
Yeah. The drive-thru.
Yeah.
Boobs while you wait. Yeah. All right, let's move forward.
Do a geek watch.
Thank you. Let's have to look for it.
Look, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if... The
your head itches.
There is no...
It's shower day.
Plus. There's no auxiliary. There's no god.
This is only day three,
shit.
Probably.
You got it?
Better does.
When is the last day you washed your hair, sir?
No, it's been 5 days ago.
Okay. Time for a hosing. All right, this is like in Cool Hand Luke, where they just they put you up against a fence. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Robert Downey Jr. is suiting up to star in Iron Man, a superhero movie based on the Marvel Comics character. John Favreau is...
Were you just smelling your fingers?
Not me.
No, thinking.
Oh, okay, all right. I was just asking.
Filming begins in February in L.A. Downey will play Tony Stark, a billionaire industrialist, a genius inventor who is kidnapped and forced to build a devastating weapon. Using his intelligence and ingenuity, Stark instead builds a high-tech suit of armor and escapes captivity. Upon his return to the U.S., he uncovers a plot for global implications and must don his armor and protect the world.
Okay.
Now, this comic debuted in the 1960s, and the Iron Man's origin involves Stark being a prisoner of the Viet Cong. The movie version will be set in today's geopolitical climate. Budget, $100 million.
It's just weird. Robert Downey Jr. doesn't seem like superhero material to me. I'm not saying he's a bad actor. I dig that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't seem... he seems just like the wrong guy to be playing any kind of a superhero. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just view superhero movies... I mean, with the exception of Spider-Man 2, I think I just view superhero movies as all being so bad. And comic book movies are so terrible anymore that it just seems like... It does, in a weird way, seem like it's beneath him. So, what are you going to do? And I was just asking. That's what it looked like there for a moment.
You're trying to make me sound gross today.
I'm not.
Going like this.
I'm not. Well, no, you had just... I thought maybe that is how you judge your hair and whether or not it was, as you put it, shower day.
if it's itchy, it's time to wash my hair.
There's your Geek Watch. Or Monday right there. Thank you.
I grab Thor's hammer by the sons of Warvan. I shall avenge you.
Next. Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
I was feeling good this morning until you just diminished my self-esteem.
No, you know, you look fine.
I know.
Baby, nothing wrong with you. I'm just making the observation.
Fine.
I never would have known. If you had asked me to look at your hair and guess how many days it had been since you last cleaned it, I would guess 3 at the most. I would never say 5.
Thank you.
Yes. There you go. Speaking of hair, we'd like to thank our friend Alo. We had made this observation about how I was going to be wearing a hat. The only hat I currently own is a Gilmore Girls hat. And Sarah has forbidden me to wear that.
It's all for your head.
And especially once I have more hair. It's just not going to fit at all. So Sarah and I, at some point, I have to go, I think maybe I should wear a variety of hats. But our good friend Alo sent us a hat with the name of his hip-hop record label on it. So now I have one hat. So one down and like five. If I get like 5 different hats to wear a different one every day and make a whole thing of it. Just make it a hat party.
Is your head going to be all bandaged up, or are we going to be able to see you?
Yes, it's brain surgery. No, it's a...
Unless he wears one of those hats like Blossom.
No. I wear something with a big flower.
You do need to make it kind of airy. You should get a straw hat.
Something airy.
Something that a mule would wear.
Can I wear a Paddington hat? No, so I go... it's 2 weeks... Less than 2 weeks, actually. It's 2 weeks from last Friday. I'll go and I get the... Because I'm doing the medical hair restoration. And they said it's like... What did they say? I think they said that...
You gotta need a hat.
Do you own a chapeau? I said, when am I presentable again? That was the phrase I used. And they said, probably a week. Now, the best, and by best, I mean worst part of this...
Presentable to whom?
Is that... I think to anybody. Is that this happens on, like, a Saturday. It happens on a Saturday, and then our regional vice president is in town on Monday, with whom I have to have several meetings, so that'll be fun. Just sitting there looking like some afternoon drive nitwit, wearing like a Raiders hat in the meeting. And then I've got, and then Aaron's wedding happens the week after that. So with any luck, I'll be presentable by the time. And I think I got to stand outside for Aaron's wedding. Oh, no, because they're doing the theater thing. Mm-hmm. That'll be, maybe it'll be dark. Maybe it'll be dimly lit and I can just stand in a corner somewhere. I'm unclear about exactly how unpresentable I'm going to be. All right, should we break? We should, because we got Lisa Goddard coming up at 1:15. So I'll tell you what, because we're getting behind, and because we've got George Michael news, we'll come back, do a little bit more news. Sarah and I will, we will reenact for your listening pleasure this instant message conversation between former Congressman Mark Foley and a young, presumably supple boy. And then we'll have Lisa Goddard talking about the Amish. Chris Sneathen will be here. We have CEO. We have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian coming up. And more of this and stuff. Oh, plus a piece of completely made-up news. Dan. And back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.